Okay. Rabbi, thank you very much for joining us. Rabbi Walter has a very exciting shiur on the topic of where you should shop. And you should be forewarned that you might have to change your shopping habits by the time we're finished.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi Reingold.
Between now and Black Friday?
quick.
I'm warning you before today, really.
Okay, this is indeed a very fascinating, challenging, interesting topic. The topic, as Rabbi Reingold mentioned, is buying Jewish. The scope and the limits of how far one has to go to purchase from a Jewish vendor, and to what extent the person really has to push himself or herself to do such a thing. So let's just start by giving five scenarios, five practical cases. You're in town, and you have big commercial chain stores, you have a Safeway, you have a Giant, you have a Target, and of course you have a local proprietor who sells Jewish kosher food. So when I have to make a decision, not where I'm buying chicken and meat, because chicken and meat there's only one choice, but when I have to buy my cereal, I have to buy my perishables, so where am I going to go? Where am I going to go?
There is a choice of chicken and meat.
They do, they sell frozen.
Okay, very good, you make the question even better. So what are my choices here? Do I have to buy Jewish? Can I not? Question number one. Question number two. You're in the kosher supermarket. You made the decision to support that particular store. And now you're walking down the aisle and you need some ketchup. So there it is, you're in the ketchup aisle, and you see there's Heinz ketchup, there's Mishpacha ketchup, and there's Geffen ketchup. So is that also the same difficulty? Do I have to start looking every time I shop and buy to make sure that I'm purchasing the retail from the Giant and the Jewish proprietor as opposed to purchasing the regular Heinz? Question number three. You're in a city or a town or a village, and there are two Jewish barbers and five non-Jewish barbers. Do I have to support the local Jewish barber, or can I go around the corner to a different barber? Question number four. You're looking for a contractor, and there's a Jewish contractor, there's a not Jewish contractor, and I need work in my kitchen, I need work in my second floor, I need work in my bathrooms, and there are plenty of Jewish contractors, plenty of non-Jewish contractors. Must I use the Jewish contractor, and what are the parameters of making that choice and decision? Final scenario question. You're a boss, and you're looking to hire an employee, and you have a long list of very fine-looking resumes. And amongst the resumes, you get a Jewish fellow who applies for the particular job. So you have the equivalent amount of choices in terms of using a Jewish employee or a non-Jewish employee. Who do I hire? Is there also that extent, or how far does it go, do I have to use that Jewish employee? Now, in each of these scenarios, let me add layer two. Let's talk about the supermarket. Let's talk about the barber. Let's talk about the contractor, or as the boss, hiring an employee. Let's say there's a difference in price in terms of the item that I'm looking to buy. For example, the Heinz ketchup costs $1.99, the Mishpacha ketchup costs $2.50, and the Geffen costs $2.75. Or the chicken or the meat in Costco is significantly cheaper than the chicken and the meat in the local kosher store. Does that make a difference? And 2B would be, how big of a difference does it have to be? Is it a dollar? Is it $2? Is it $5? Is it $10? Or is it even 10 cents? What level of requirement do I have when I'm shopping, or should I be shopping, to make sure to look and to try to make it happen, but within what limits and what range? The third layer of this question is, to what difficulty do I have to go to buy Jewish? Now, for example, if the kosher market is 2 miles away and the local chain store is around the corner, do I also have to travel farther? Man, I'm going to put out more gas. Do I have to do that? Or another aspect, let's say the customer service in one of the two places is better. Do I still have to go to the kosher market? Or more than that, let's say the kosher place doesn't have a good return policy, and the big chain store, the Costco, you can return something 5 years later and they'll take it back. I mean, how far and how far-reaching it is. So, from the get-go, let me tell you, if you're expecting to walk away with a yes or no answer to any of these questions, so you could exit now, because the answers to these questions are extraordinarily difficult, and I'll tell you that there are two reasons why it's difficult to give an answer to these questions. Number one, if you saw the Mar Makomos, there is no explicit Gemara that addresses any of the questions that I just asked. Now, The fact that there's no explicit Gemara in and of itself is difficult, but more than that, that means there are really no Rishonim. The Rishonim are almost silent on this topic. I found one tshuva, the tshuva of the Tashbetz, which we'll have time to see, Meretz Hashem. Tashbetz is a later Rishon, but there's a clear silence, radio silence from the Rishonim. They don't speak at all about this sugya. Moreover, the Rambam doesn't paskin anything about this. The Torah doesn't say anything about this. Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk anything about this. And the Ramban, Shulchan Aruch, doesn't make any statement whatsoever about this. So, therefore, we're in trouble. So, as you saw from the Marmakom,
it wasn't an issue in their time.
So, the reason why probably wasn't an issue, and you'll see when it does become an issue, in a moment, is when the world became a global village, and when there started to be trade, and there are less trade restrictions, and you're able to purchase for many years, and throughout Jewish history, Jews weren't allowed to own businesses, and didn't have major metropolises where they're able to do that. Now, Jews are always doing well and are successful, but within their own communities to a certain extent. But there wasn't always the Jewish grocer versus the non-Jewish grocer. Now, more than that, you'll see, for example, there are no tshuvas from out of Eretz Yisrael, because in Eretz Yisrael, it's primarily Jewish shopping. Now, what you will see is a fascinating event that took place in 1934. I'll get to that a little bit later in this year, in terms of buying or using Jewish employees versus Arab employees. And we'll talk about that, Mirtz Hashem, time permitting as well. So the fact that there's no Gemara, the fact that the Rishonim are silent, the fact that there is really very, very little primary resources and sources on the topic will give us a very, very strong challenge as well. Yeah?
Is it possible that the material from the Rishonim is censored because it's not popular with the non-Jews?
It's hard to say. I didn't see anybody suggest that. It's hard to say. Usually when things are censored, so somebody made that point and somebody commented. We know that there were things over the centuries that were censored. Here it doesn't seem. I don't think it was a major issue in the times of the Rishonim. But you will see that there are some Gemaras that we might be able to glean some Piskei Halacha from. The second reason that you're not going to be able to walk away with a very clear algorithm in terms of answering yes, no, or maybe is because every situation is different and every scenario is different. There are many, many different things to take into account. Like I just mentioned briefly, location, price, difference in price, customer service, variety of different things that you have to take into account. Let's say the parking is better in one place over the other and you're going to have to stand in line. There's longer lines in one place. That also we might have to take into account also. So let's try to work this through. Mirtz Hashem, we will walk away with a deeper and better understanding of the sugya. But let's start with some psukim in the Torah that Chazal seem to use as a source for this halacha. And source number one, the pasuk in Parshas Behar, Perchaf, Hey, pasuk Yedalet. Pasuk says, "V'chisimkru mimkor la'amisecha, okana miyat amisecha, altonu ish es achiv." This is a very simple pasuk. The basic understanding of the pasuk, the way Rashi learns, is that this is what's referred to as the isser of onas mamon. That means that I can't hike up a price as a salesman, and I can't, as a buyer, try to create a cheaper deal. Now, there are halachas, how far one can go in terms of making a deal, or how far a person can hike up his price, or how low a person can try to acquire something. But the pasuk says, chisimku mimkor la'misecha, when you are being a mocher, when you're selling something, okana miyat amisecha, if I'm purchasing something, al tonu ish es achiv, don't agree the individual you're doing business. Be a fair person in business. Be an honest seller, be an honest purchaser, and make sure everybody walks away happy. That's the pashut pshat, that's the simple way to understand that. Pasuk and Rashi, source number two, tells us, lefi pshuto kimashmel. That's the simple understanding in pshat. However, Rashi quotes from the Sifra, and the Sifra says in source number two, od yesh drasha. There's another way to learn this pasuk that Chazal tells us. Minayin kishata mocher mechor li Yisrael. How do you know when you need to sell something, you should sell it specifically to a Jew? Talmud lomar bechisimkeru. When you're selling something, mimchor la misecha. Rashi, quoting the Sifra, learns the pasuk differently, and he punctuates the pasuk differently. When you're looking to sell something, sell to who? Am misecha. Sell to your Jewish friend, your Jewish colleague, your Jewish neighbor. That's who you should sell to. Furthermore, uminayin shimbasa liknos, and from where do you know when you're purchasing something? Kenei Yisrael chaverach, you should purchase from a Jew. Talmud lomar okana miyara misecha, purchase something from your friend, from your neighbor, from your colleague. So the Sifra learns the pasuk not according to pshuto shel mikra. Rashi quotes the Sifra that there's a different way to punctuate the pasuk. That when you're selling something, mechor la misecha. If you're purchasing something, kanei miyara misecha, buy something
something from your friend. So the way I titled the shir is there a chiyuv, a reshus, or is there a mitzvah? How far do you have to go? The Torah doesn't say chayev. The Torah doesn't seem to indicate that it's a mitzvah necessarily. Rashi, one could argue and debate, doesn't seem to tell you that there's a must, that there's a requirement. As I mentioned, the Rambam, the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch don't say anything. It's a sifra. Let's see how far we take the Sifra. On source number 3, I brought the exact language of the Sifra, not much different than the way Rashi quotes it, and the indication of the Sifra that it's a drasha, and it's an Eitz HaTova. It's a nice thing to do. Maybe it's a mitzvah to do. But you don't see anywhere in the Pasha Pshat, certainly not in the text of the Torah, certainly not the way Rashi is quoting the Sifra, certainly not in the Sifra itself, that you have to do that. It sounds like it's a good thing to do. Minayin, the way the Sifra asks Shum Kone, Lo Tia Kone El Miani Misecha. How do you know that when you're purchasing something, you should purchase it from your friend? And the Sifra seems to indicate that that's what you should do based upon the way he's learning the pasuk. Source number 4 is another pasuk in Parshas Behar. And this is a bit more explicit in terms of how to handle. Pasuk says, "Chiyamuch achicha," when your brother is downtrodden, "Umata yado," and he's having a hard time supporting himself financially, "Vehechezakta bo," you should strengthen him. Ger v'soshav v'chayimach, both for a ger, both for a ger soshav, v'chayimach, he should live with you. This is a mitzvah, says Rashi in source number 5. Don't allow your friend to fall to the ground. If you see someone who's struggling, is having a hard time in business, support him, help him. Al tanicheu, says Rashi, sheirei v'yipol. Don't let this fellow fall to the ground. V'yakosha l'akimon, by the time he's unable to support his business, and by the time he's unable to sell his wares, he be turned to be an ani. Elechaskeu mishas mutasayad. Help him from the moment that he begins to fall. Lamaze dome, what's the similar to? Lamasu shala chamor. Odeyu ala chamor, when the chamor is carrying something, echa tofes bo umamido. When it's still on the chamor, one person can prop back up the item that is about to fall. However, nafal aretz, once it falls to the ground, chamisha in mamidim, also not even 5 people can lift him up. Here you see that if a person is struggling in his business, try to do business with him, help him out, send him a client, send him a customer. Try to help that person out, because before you know it, if the person is left without a business and without a client, it's not going to take 1 or 2 people to help him out, but before you know it, you're going to have to strengthen the entire community, is going to have to rally behind this person, and is going to have to try to help him. This pasuk and this drasha of Rashi and the Rambam quotes, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch Halacha Lamaisa, the highest level of stuck, as you're all familiar, is supporting another Jew in his business if he is unable to make it on his own simply by doing the things that he's doing. If you want to help somebody, of course stuck is important, but the highest, greatest level of stuck is to aid somebody to be able to work for themselves. That's what Shulchan Aruch says in source number 6. The greatest maila hagedola shein lamal mimena. There's no greater level in mitzvah stuck. Hamachzik biyadi. If you strengthen a Jew who's struggling and you give him a present, halva alone, osa shutvus, you go into business, a partnership with him. Or if you send him a client, a customer, and somebody to do business with in order that he is does not have to start being chozer lapsachim, knocking door by door, al zanemar behechazak tabo. So here you see very clearly that if we are and do find ourselves in a situation where you're a Jewish business and there's a non-Jewish business and the Jewish business is struggling and the Jewish business can't make ends meet, and you'll see a tshuva from the Minchas Yitzchak shortly about this particular case, then it doesn't come on to the first halacha of supporting and purchasing from a Jew vis-a-vis the halacha of Okana Miana Misecha, but there's a whole other realm, and that realm is Hechzakdebo, support a Jew, support his business, allow this person to be fruitful, to be successful, and to be able to make his or her own parnasa. So here, that aspect is explicit. So if any of the questions that I was just referring to, you're talking about the barber, and everybody's using the barber who's not Jewish, and that barber is unable to support himself, and the barber is going to close down, so maybe in terms of the halacha of Okana Miyada Misecha, we could debate whether or not you have a chiyav or not. But certainly in terms of helping, supporting that person's business so that his doors aren't closed, that's a mitzvah, and that's explicit both in the Torah and in Chazal, and in halacha, and in Shulchan Aruch, that that's a mitzvah of the Hechazak to bow.
That really, in a sense, is in the form of tzedakah. So
yes.
Then the whole issue of, how much do you, in terms of if there's a price differential, almost goes out the window, because if you can afford to, even if you're going to lose somebody.
100%. That is a different, that's why I'm showing that there are two different things that are happening here. There's one halacha of buying Jewish. The other element of buying Jewish, which is an important category, and which is psak halacha lamaisa, that if you know that this business is struggling and is not making it, and you're not looking after that business, it's going to close. And there are plenty of stories throughout the last 10, 15, 20 years, especially as the world gets larger and bigger, chain stores are coming and are putting little small Jewish businesses out of business, then that is a rule of the hechazakdabo. Not necessarily economy out of misacha. Yeah.
So if the intent is to support the Jewish business because it needs to remain a business, and it's decided under that construct of a matter of tzedakah, and you're paying a premium over what you would be able to pay at a cheaper store, could a person say, all right, listen, I'm keeping my Meiser accounts?
Good question. You want to know if you could use Meiser if you're supporting a store. If it's a situation where you're absolutely certain that this Jew is only surviving based upon the fact that you're purchasing from him, that is stuck, and it could absolutely count for Meiser. There's no question about it. That's uncontested. It's the greatest form of tzedakah that you can do.
The second then actually would apply even if it's two Jews, they're in competition with each other, right?
That what? That you should help them both.
One of them is struggling.
Absolutely. Meaning you have one Jewish business that's doing outstanding, the other business is struggling. Help build that business back up, and then, no question about it. Let me start by sharing one tshuva on the topic. As you see, typically, after you see psukim, you like to see how the gemaras handle the psukim. But as I mentioned, there are no gemaras. But take a look and start with the tshuva of the Chikri Lev. Chikri Lev was one of the Gedolei Sfarad. He lived in the early 1800s, the late 1700s, where Befarl Chazan has volumes and volumes of tshuvas. There's a big meshev in halacha. And he mentions that he had this problem in his city. I believe he was Rav in Salonika. And he writes, Nasati libi al sochri yisoshib. I took the time to consider how the business and the trade agreements were working in the city where I served as Rav. Shiro ani I see. Denis harm din baim liknos choros v'yesh biad Yisrael v'goy lahaktim liknos Yisrael. I don't see that the people in town, the balabatim in the city, are nizer to purchase Jewish. V'chein b'mechir, and so too the salesmen aren't necessarily being cautious to first sell to Jews. Deniri delav shapir avdi. It seems to me that's not appropriate. V'chem is sarsaros, and similarly, if you're a sarsar is a middleman. Sharei b'toras kohanim b'parshas bahar, the sifra, toras kohanim says in parshas bahar, that's what we quoted, v'chisim kum imchor l'misecha, kohanim yad misecha, darshu kishetimko lom timko el misecha, u kishetekna lo seikna el miyad misecha. So the Chikri Lev says, it's a pasuk, it's a sifra, it's a toras kohanim, Rashi brings it, seemingly, this is what should be done. How come people aren't cautious and careful to buy Jewish? Next paragraph. Same column. It's true that the Rambam, the Tur, the Shulchan Aruch, didn't bring this drush of the Torah's Kohanim. They left it out. But he says, I don't know why the Rambam, the Tur, and Shulchan Aruch don't quote this. At the end of the day, this is a fact. This is halacha lemaisa. The pshat kasuv kachu. This is the explicit way to learn the pasuk. Vigam svarhu. Logically, it also makes sense. Of course, shouldn't I support a Jew first? Furthermore, he says, Yesh lodun din ba liknos umozilei, and this is going to be important. If I'm purchasing, and the individual who I'm purchasing, mozile hagoy ktsas, and the non-Jewish competition lowers his price, tfei me Yisrael, more than a Jew. V'cheinim balim kor v'agoy koni memena, if you're looking to sell something, the non-Jew is willing to pay more for it, ktsas b'yoke, a little bit more expensive. Afilu hachi chayav liknos v'lim kor b'yisrael, you still have to purchase Jewish, or sell to a Jew. Kol she'en a hefresh rav, as long as there's not a significant price difference between selling to a Jew versus a non-Jew, or purchasing from a Jew as opposed to a non-Jew, chayav l'haktim Yisrael l'goy. You have to buy Jewish. So here's the first tshuva of the Chikri Lev. He's bothered by our problem. There's no Tur, there's no Rambam, there's no Shulchan Aruch. He says, logically, it seems to make sense, this is what you should do. In terms of the Pasuk, it's true that it's not quoted l'halacha, but it's a Torah's Kohanim. This is what should be done. He doesn't know why. The important point that the Chikri Lev does make is that if there's a difference in price, you still have to buy Jewish. Now, he doesn't define what that means. He says a little bit more, right? Notice the words. He says, umozile hagoy ktsas. The non-Jew is selling a little bit less. Or if you're selling, you're able to sell it ktsas b'yoker tvei me. So you could sell it a little bit at a higher price to a non-Jew than to a Jew. Nonetheless, the Chikri Lev seems to indicate that's what you should do. Take a look in the next column. This is where he concludes his tshuva. Linyan halacha libi mahaseis. I'm not sure what to conclude. After he writes a long tshuva, which I've cut and paste. Da'av sheish ladum hach sugi de b'choros. He says there might be a sugi b'choros, which seems to show that the sugi of the Gemara is not following the drush of the Taras Kohanim. Nonetheless, you could answer that Gemara. V'nachnu lo neda, four or five lines down, he says that the Taras Kohanim is hard to uproot the psak of the Taras Kohanim. V'rashi shepasku kein, Rashi brings the drasha. Hatashpeitz u'moharam, that's the Ramah. Also quote this tshuva and this pasuk of the drasha of the Taras Kohanim. He concludes by saying maybe it's only a mitzvah, maybe it's an Eitzah Tova, but he doesn't conclusively finish his tshuva saying yes, no, or maybe. He says it's hard to say that the drasha of the Taras Kohanim is not correct. He says that there's a tshuva that tashbeitz in the Ramah. So let's turn to the tshuva that tashbeitz in the Ramah, and we'll be able to discover a lot more about the sugya. Yeah.
He
come from Be'erzakta. He doesn't. The whole tshuva doesn't come from Be'erzakta. Good point. He doesn't say necessarily that they're suffering. He's just saying that people aren't purchasing Jewish nachos. He didn't say that anybody's not, that Jewish businesses are going out. He just said that people aren't making it.
Also, nobody asked him to shayla. It says Levi.
Nesati Levi. He himself was. That's true. See, things haven't changed. The most fundamental tshuva on the topic is the tshuva of the Ramah, and that's in source number 8. It's tshuva of Ramah Siman Yud. Just some background to this tshuva. This is the Vivi Maramakom on the question or topic of intellectual property or copyright. The tshuva of the Ramah is a long tshuva. I've only taken out a column, which is the Yesod HaShlishi. This is a famous tshuva because the Ramah was only age 20 when he penned this tshuva, and he was asked the shalat from one of the Gedolei Ador, the Marami Padua, Ramer of Padua, who was in the year 1550, printed a volume of the Rambam Sefer Yad HaChazaka. The Rambam Sefer Yad HaChazaka was out of print. Of course, in the year 1550, the printing press was starting to get going. Marami Padua, he was a Rav, and he didn't have enough money. So he saw that a side business, he'd be able to annotate the Yad HaChazaka of the Rambam, did a scholarly job, to reprint it in a way that was nice and pretty and authoritative. And the Rambam Padua took a long time to work this out, and he took as a shutuf, as a partner, a non-Jewish Italian printer. Then, in those days, Jews weren't allowed to have their own printing press, so he hired a non-Jewish Italian printer, one of the best printers in Italy, to work with him to put out this Rambam. And he did. And years, as I said, went into the work and he printed it. Lo and behold, a few years later, the Italian printers competition, a man by I think the name of Giugliani or something to that extent, I don't believe I'm pronouncing it properly, not Giugliani, he saw that his competition was printing a annotated text of the Rambam, and this competition put out his own Rambam using the Marami Padua's Rambam and his notes, and he put it out to print. The Marami Padua was shocked and stunned. Here it was that he put years into the business, he put money into the job, this was going to be his Parnassa, and all of a sudden, not only did somebody else put it out, but put it out at a cheaper price in order to that everybody will start buying his stuff. So Marami Padua was a man in his later years, was the Rav of the big city of Padua, turned to the Ramah, who just became Rav of the city of Krakow at age 20, to Paskin on this Shaila. And he asked the Ramah to tell people, the B'nai, the people of his Kehillah in Krakow and amongst Eastern Europe, that they should absolutely not purchase the new text of the Rambam that was put out by the competition. So the Ramah writes a very, very, very lengthy tshuva on the topic, and it's all about copyright intellectual property. But the third reason that he uses to paskin like the Marami Padua and tells his community not to purchase the new text of the Rambam that was put out is because of this halacha, that if the Marami Padua is selling Rambams and that there are goyim selling Rambams, buy from the Marami Padua. Besides the fact that he's a Jew, he's from the Gedolei Ador, he needs our support. How could you not purchase a Rambam from him? And there are paskins that you must purchase until the stock of the Marami Padua is out. You're prohibited to buy any Rambams from the competition, the Italian printer. The Ramah concludes his tshuva with about a paragraph of a cherem and a mishapara against anybody in town or in the city who purchases the new copies of the Rambam. But here in what he calls Hayesod Hagadol Ashlishi, the third reason for one not to purchase the copies of the new printer as opposed to only purchasing the published work of the Maamri Padua is based upon the Toras Kohanim, the Rashi that we just quoted. And here you could take a look in the first few lines, the Rama says as follows. Take a look in the fourth line. And after he quotes the Rashi in the Toras Kohanim, Hini hu behedje mefura, shafilo hayagona nal rak echem b'nei amei aretz. Even if this was only a regular Jew living in town, Zacha Badin, he would be required to purchase from him. Badin imo, v'kol shekem v'kal v'char ma'ata, certainly now. We're talking about the Maamri Padua. Now listen to this line in the Rama, and this is the line that everybody works with following the Rama's penning of this tshuva. Ve'ein lomar, and don't argue d'zehu dafka kishaku siva Yisrael nosnin be'erechu b'mekach echa. Don't argue that the only time there's a requirement to buy Jewish is when the price is the same, more or less. Aval kishaku si mozil tve, when the non-Jew significantly cuts the price of the item that's looking to be, you're looking to purchase. Shari likach mimenu kidei laviach mekro. Maybe you could buy from the non-Jew because there's such a significant difference in price. Buy from the non-Jew. A significant price, he says. Hine dvar meilu gam kein hevel hema. How do you translate hevel? The Rama thinks. The Rama is not happy. Even when if there's a significant difference in price, the Rama paskins, you still have to buy Jewish. That's the language. Afilu kishakusi mozil tvei shari likach mimenu. Even in that case, still it's hevel. That's the psak of the Rama. The Rama has two rayas, two gemaras that he uses to prove this point. I want to mention both of these gemaras too because it's going to be important. The first is Gemara in Perikei Zeonesh, Akambav Metziah, and Daf Ayin Aleph. The Gemara asks that notes that if there's a Jew who is in the lending business, and he has the ability to lend to a Jew and the ability to lend to a non-Jew, that absolutely, positively should first lend to the Jew. Gemara says, pshit, of course you should lend to the Jew over the non-Jew. What's the question? Gemara says, that's not the question. You know what the question is? When you have a Jew and a non-Jew to lend to, and the Jew you're required to lend for free, you can't be over on the Isser Dirais of Ribbis. And the non-Jew you could charge Ribbis, you could charge interest to. What do you do in that case? Who do you lend to? Who should you give the money to? $100, $1,000, $10,000, $1,000,000? The Gemara paskins halacha lemaisa that you should give the money as a loan to the Jew without interest, even if you could give it to the non-Jew with interest. And the Rama understands from that Gemara that even if there's a significant difference, if you could walk away from that transaction of lending with a profit of $100, $200, $1,000, $10,000, you're still required to give it and lend to the non-Jew. Yeah.
To the
Jew over the non-Jew. Thank you.
It seems there was a pasuk you quoted in there that said that when you're lending to a goy, you should dafka lend with interest.
No, not lav dafka, but here the ikker point that the Rama is fleshing out, and again, this we'll see if this can be argued on, that the Rama seems to indicate that you could even, or you should, or you must, or you're required, right? The Rama is using a strong language. You must lend to the Jew over the non-Jew, even though there's a significant difference in price. That's the first Gemara that the Rama quotes. The Rama notes that there is an implicit difficulty with that Gemara, because what's taking place when you're lending? You're not losing money, you're just not gaining money. So Rama says, don't challenge my contention from this Gemara, that this Gemara is not a solid proof to what I'm suggesting, because you're only not making money, you're just not profiting, but you're not losing. Says the Rama, maybe you'll argue that if I have to purchase something, I'm going to lose money. Or I'm a seller and I'm going to sell something and lose money, maybe in that case, then I would be okay to purchase from a non-Jew. That's the question that the Rama asks explicitly on himself, and he recognizes that there might be somebody who asks such a question. Because when I'm lending, I'm just not making money. I'm not losing money. My pocket is still the same $10 out of my pocket is still there. I'm not losing any money. So maybe if I lose money when I purchase something, in that case, there wouldn't be a chiyuv necessarily to purchase from a Jew. That's the Rama's difficulty. Yeah.
He doesn't believe in time value of money.
I'm sorry?
Clearly
not, but the Gemara seems to say that there would be a difference in the price. There would be a difference in what I would make, but I wouldn't lose anything.
Well,
so
may not be repaid.
You may not be repaid. So we're going to talk about may not being repaid. Yeah, there's no question. But what you do see from this Gemara, what you do see from the Gemara very clearly, is regardless if you are profiting or you're not profiting, regardless if you're losing money or not losing money. In either case, the Ramah is very, very clear that purchasing from the Jew trumps purchasing from the non-Jew, even if there's a significant difference in price.
I have to say, he does understand the time value of money.
Because?
He just says you can't be marpia.
Okay, that's true.
There's value.
That's true. Fair enough. Yeah. Then the Ramah says, I'll prove to you why, even when it comes to profiting, there's still reason to argue that you have to purchase Jewish. And if you take a look in the Tshuva itself, the Ramah quotes a Gemara in Psachim and a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. It's about halfway through this column. The Gemara quotes a pasuk. You'll see in the two parentheses there on the same line, Avodah Zarah, Daf Chaf in parentheses, Psachim, Daf Chaf Aleph and Beis in parentheses. The Gemara says and quotes the pasuk, Tanya, lo sochul kol nevela, leger asher b'shrecha t'tnena ve'achol. You, as a Jew, are prohibited from eating nevela. You can't eat a carcass that hasn't been shechted. What should you do with it? Leger asher b'shrecha t'tnena ve'achol. You should give it to a ger toshav. A ger who's accepted the sheva mitzvahs b'neinoch. Give it to him. Pasuk continues, or machor lenachri, or sell it to a non-Jew. How do you read that pasuk? So that's the machlokus in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah and Psachim between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. How do you read this pasuk? So you know how Rabbi Meir reads this pasuk? He says, give it to who? Give it to the ger tosha for what? For free. If you don't have a ger toshav in town, you know what the next thing to do is? Then you could sell it to who? To a Nachri, to a non-Jew. So Rameir learns from here, and Ramar learns from here. It's very clear that there's a Talmudic text, a proof in the Gemara, that indicates that if you have two options, either selling something to a non-Jew or giving something to a Ger Toshav, what should you do? Give it to the Ger Toshav. Now, Rabbi Huda argues, and Rabbi Huda says, you don't need to teach me that from a pasuk. Everybody knows that. If you have two people to purchase from, so of course you should give it to the Jew or to the Ger Toshav over the Nachri. So Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda argue how to read this pasuk. He says, you don't need the pasuk to teach me that. The pasuk is coming to teach me something else. But the Ramah learns, lahalacha, that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda, who argue how to read this pasuk, both agree, certainly, that you give something to a Jew before giving it to a non-Jew for a price. That's the conclusion of the Ramah from this Gemara. Says the Ramah, I'm losing in this case, right? I'm not profiting in this case. I don't have to make a sale. I don't have to necessarily, I'm not losing. So the Ramah says, you see from here, even if a Jew is not going to profit necessarily, still you have to give the item to the Jew over the non-Jew. That's what emerges from this text and this Gemara, is that even if you're not going to lose necessarily, but if you're not going to profit, still it's better to give it to the Jew over the non-Jew. That's the conclusion that the Ramah draws. So the Ramah concludes, and you look at the end of the paragraph here, he says that absolutely positively, pshita, that you're chayav lichyo shma mina, that you lays din tzarech b'sheish, you don't have to inquire into this whatsoever, ki agon halaz, he's referring to Maram Mipano, zacha bedino lios muchon emezuman limp, the Maram Mipanua is absolutely permitted to sell out his stuff first, and he is the one who is able to sell his Rambams prior to anybody else, and everybody must buy from him. Yeah.
It's hard to glean that from the Gemara, whether it's a mitzvah or not. But what the Ramah does say is, even a circumstance where I'm not losing anything, but if I'm not, if I'm losing out on a profit, right? There's still a chiyuv to purchase Jewish. That's what the Ramah says. There is a difficulty with this proof.
It's because he's understanding it from the Gemara.
He's understanding the Gemara. That's correct.
You know, they're not arguing over this fact, but they're not both necessarily agreeing that it's a mitzvah.
Agreed. That yes, that's correct. The difficulty with this, and many achronim raise this problem in the Ramah, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, there's a Tosfos right there on the page who asks, if that's true that I should give it to the Ger Tosha first before giving it to the Nachri, does that mean every time I have something to sell, I should always sell it to a Jew over a non-Jew? You never find such a thing. So Tosfos is clear that Tosfos didn't hold or didn't understand this entire thing. And Tosfos answers that question only when there is a small difference in price. That's when you have to give it, sell it, or purchase from a Jew. But if there's a big difference in price, you don't have to. This, the Shaar Mishpat and other Achronim note this problem, but the Ramah clearly understands, and he had a direction to take in this tshuva, that he felt and he paskin, that even if there's a significant difference in price, you have to buy from the Jew over the non-Jew. And if you're selling something, or if you're buying something, even though you're not going to lose necessarily, you're just not going to profit, you still have to sell to the Jew and buy from a Jew as well. That's the conclusion of the Ramah.
Here he even goes to the point of
Hefset,
which is a little bit
harder. Yeah, the Ramah says, Mozil Tvei, even though you're going to lose. And there's going to be, and now, what the Ramah doesn't do is he doesn't tell us how much that is. We're going to take a look at that in a second.
What about, wait, one thing we didn't mention is, what about your own resources? You know, you're selling on
a budget. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
So this does go back to what Machlokes between Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Meir, which is a Machlokes Kanoi.
But again, it's not an explicit Gemara, besides for the fact that the Ramah understood that this was a proof to his point. And if you're learning the Gemara, you wouldn't necessarily use the, you know, and the Gemara doesn't bring this halacha also. So the Ramah gleans from here. And again, you have a big kasha on this Gemara, like Tosos does, that case when you have to give it to the Ger Toshav over the Nachri is because a piece of meat for a Jew, when there are no Goyim in town, is worthless. What's he going to do with it? So in that case, give it to the Ger Toshav over giving it to the Nachri. So there's a difference, small difference in price. But if there's a big difference in price, if you have something that you could sell at a high margin, at a good profit, so Tosfos seems to indicate that you wouldn't be necessarily responsible or required, wouldn't even be a mitzvah necessarily, to give it to the Jew over the non-Jew. That's the truth of the matter. It's hard. Achronim are going to try to give us a sense in terms of how much the two Gemaras were going for. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know.
Where's the sixth?
We're going to talk about that.
These halachas, like, on an industrial level, it's hard to imagine that they really apply. Like, in the case of lending, if a person is a banker, his job is he lends money, you can't say that, oh, you can't lend money to non-Jews and Rizzi.
You're right.
If you own a shlachos,
absolutely.
You have to have a way of dealing with your nevelas. You're gonna have.
That's correct. Look, there's always dina de malchus dina to take into account. There's no question about it. But in a vacuum, you know, this is the question that the
malchus is practically. Then you're talking about substantial amounts of money. So
right.
You can't,
right. That's true. That's true. We don't have time to go through the whole Tashbetz, but the reason that I brought it is just to show you that Tashbetz, who precedes the Ramah by a few hundred years, has a very, very similar Shaila that he was dealing with, and he brings the same two exact Gemaras that the Ramah does. He brings the Gemara in Perkei Zeoneshech of who to lend to, and that the conclusion of the Gemara that you first lend to a Jew for free over a non-Jew for a profit. And the second Gemara that he brings is the Pasuk that we just dealt with, the Machlokes or Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. If you have an Avela, better to give it to the Ger Tosha for free as opposed to selling it to the Nachar. He brings both those Gemaras. He has no problem with either of those Gemaras. He doesn't bring Tosfos as a question on the latter Gemara. And the Tashbetz concludes, like the Ramah, that the requirement is to sell Jewish and is to buy Jewish. The difference that you could glean from the tshuva of the Ramah as opposed to Tashbetz, and this is a diuk that the Minchas Yitzchak has in a tshuva, is that the Ramah is much more explicit that even if there's a large difference in the price of buying Jewish, that you should buy Jewish. Tashbetz seems to indicate that only if it's a lower difference in price, then you would have to buy Jewish.
Yeah, I'm not seeing, where do you see in the Ramah that it's a substantial difference?
If you take a look, Mozil Tvei.
Mozil Tvei means Tvei means more.
It sounds like it's significant. There he says it, and if you take a look, that's the most explicit place where he says it. And he does say, you know, if the erech umekach echav al kershakusi mozel tvei, where he really lowers the price significantly. Shari lichmane kedela. I guess I think so.
Tvei, I understand, means more, not less.
Yes, I was just about to show this one. On the bottom as well, he says he who hadin benidon didon. That's six or seven lines in the bottom. Shemichuyev kol adam l'kaim yadam isecha misecha kodim v'af no mar shaf mikan nimod ham mefurish b'kra. No, it's not as explicit there.
Shmaya
l'chaver
afilu b'ger b'mos chaver b'mos.
Three lines on the bottom. Shmaya l'chaver afilu b'ger. The ger b'mos l'chaver behefsed. Yeah, there you go. Mikom makom chaver kodem. Those are two. Yeah. Okay, so we don't know. That's, like I said, the difficulty with tackling this topic is there are no numbers yet. Take a look in the next source. Let's just skip the next page. Go to source Yud Beis. It's the Sefer Avos Chesed of the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim wrote a monumental work about many aspects of Chesed, and including in the aspects of Chesed is lending, and is lending from one to another. The Ramah here in Perek Hey, in Halacha Hey, deals with a Jewish lender. What's better? Who should I lend to? So he says as follows, Da. It's better to lend to a Jew for free than to a Kenani with ribbis. It's a big machlokes achronim as to how far a lender has to go. Some say, even if you lend to a non-Jew, I'll get a significant increase and there'll be a large profit margin. I still have to lend to the Jew for free. As long as my firm can handle such a lending deal. I'm not losing by lending to the Jew. I'll get the money back. I'm just not making money at the moment. Gam ein parnasa sobekach. Also, if that's not my job, my business. So you see from the Chafetz Chaim, if I'm in the lending business and that's the way I'm making my money, and the only way I make money is by making and charging interest, and I could charge interest to the non-Jew, so then it's a closed deal. That's the way I'm making my money. That's what I have to do. I can't lose as a result. So if I'm not going to profit, so the first opinion of the Chafetz Chaim is that you should even lose at a large rate unless it's my parnasa. The second opinion of the Chafetz Chaim, the dafke hecha sharevach hu ma'at muat. Only if there's a little difference in price. Aval imarevach hu merubah. If I can make a lot of money lending to the non-Jew over the Jew, einu mechuyah b'zeh. I don't, and I'm not required. And look at the Chafetz Chaim. This is why I brought it. V'cheimash mektsas mitshuvas Rama. He learns like Rabbi Brandris that the Rama is understanding only if there's a small difference in price. Am I responsible to then purchase Jewish? Moreover, in Os Zion says the Ramah, Afilim Aknani Mosif Mat Yoser Al Mekach. If I'm a salesman and the non-Jew is willing to buy the item that I'm selling for a higher price, Afilu Hachi Mutav Lim Kol Yisrael B'Pachos. Better to sell to the Jew at a lower profit margin. V'chein Adin Lini Kinyan. So too for us as consumers, as purchasers, Mutav Yoser Shikni Yisrael. Better to purchase from who? From the Jew. Afilu Mitzdarech L'Hosif Mat Yoser. Even though I have to charge, even though I'm going to have to spend a little bit more. And again, he learns the tshuva of the Ramah that he just quoted in Sif Hey, like that. So Chafetz Chaim is very clear, as opposed to the way I presented the Ramah initially, but rather the Rabbi Brand just learned the Ramah, is that the Ramah is only telling you if there's a small difference in price, at that point you are required to buy Jewish. But if there's a big difference in price, you don't have to. The problem we still have is what's big and what's little. Take a look in Os Yud Gimel. Here the Chafetz Chaim has a short paragraph where he bemoans and he gives mussar to the fact that Jews are hiring non-Jews in the situation when the Jew needs that money to survive. And he says in the fourth line, Tochachas Mugula L'Osen Ha'anashim Shedarken Kishetzvichin Ezepol. When you're looking to hire somebody, oh, Agalalisa, you're looking to hire a Uber driver, or you're looking to hire somebody to take you to the airport. Ena Medakta Gim Liskor Dafkas Yisrael Ezeh. There's also a Jewish taxi service. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Halalo Anashim Keluhem Ena Mashirim. The taxi drivers aren't wealthy. Bivadei Krovim Aniim, and they're almost poor. Shayach Aleim Hashamar Akasav Chiyamach Achicha Umata Yado Imach. Says the Chafetz Chaim, don't forget about the second pasuk which we started with. Even though maybe you don't have the halacha of Okana Miyana Misecha, you still have the halacha of supporting and helping a Jew, mitzvah tzedakah. Don't forget about that. If you turn the page, you'll note that there is a fascinating communication and dialogue between Gedol Yisrael in the year 1934 about this exact topic. In 1934, in the Yishuv HaYashan in Eretz Yisrael, there were orchards, pardesim, that Jewish that was owned by Jewish balabatim, and that were hiring non-Jewish workers, Arabs specifically, to work the orchard. What took place, however, was an altercation. When Jews stopped the Arabs from working on the fields and stopped the Jewish balabatim from hiring the Arabs, from claiming, based upon the Sifra, that you have to hire Jewish poalim. You can't take Arab workers. It's usur, it's prohibited. Okanam yadam isecha. You have to sell Jewish and you have to buy Jewish. And there was a major altercation and brawls, which led to physical altercations between Jews and Arabs, of course, were involved, between the owners of the orchards and the poalim, who
stopped the Arabs from working the field because they felt that those jobs belonged in the hands of Jews. This altercation and this issue caused celebra made its way back to Europe, into the city of Baranovich, where Rav Chanan Wasserman was living. And Rav Chanan Wasserman wrote and penned a letter, which was published in newspapers and in a variety of different venues, where he said that it's inappropriate and it's actually usur to stop the Arabs from working the field. And anybody who does that, aleihem lite nesedin. And Rav Chanan explained, because the halach is okana miyad amisecha. Who should you buy from? From a Jew. Amisecha means somebody who's from. Says Rabbi Elchanan, when it comes to somebody who doesn't keep Torah and mitzvos, this halach of kanam yad misecha does not apply. And he said, as long as the price is more or less the same, and there's no significant difference to the Baal HaBayis, the owner of the orchard, to either take a Jewish or take an Arab, if he's going to do well taking the Arab a little bit better and he's going to make more money, there's no chiyuv halacha lemaisa because he's not bichlal amisecha. That was the psak of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. That psak also made its way around, and it got to the desk of his brother-in-law, the Achiezer, Chaim Ozer Gradinsky in Vilna, who was from the Gedolei Ador. And Achiezer was unhappy about the psak of his brother-in-law, and he wrote a letter and responded to his brother-in-law. And he doesn't explicitly say that his brother-in-law is wrong, but he said that his brother-in-law, who is a kadosh, Hashem Yikom Damo, was killed by the Nazis in Europe, went back, he was an American, went back to die with his Talmidim. Chaim Ozer says he shouldn't have gotten involved in machlokas that belongs in Eretz Yisrael. They're gedolim, and they're rabbanim, and there's a bez in Eretz Yisrael. It's not for him in Baranovich to start paskining halachas overseas. Let the gedolim in Eastern Europe paskin the shaila. It doesn't belong in his shoes. Now, the Chaim Ozer doesn't necessarily take sides of the machlokas, but he just feels that it wasn't appropriate. Now, the fact that he penned the letter would seem to indicate that he didn't necessarily agree with his brother-in-law. If you take a look in source Yudalit, the Rabbi Chanan writes in the third line, Ein balabayis chayv liskor poalem yehudim im efshalo lahasig nochem b'mechitzas amechir. If you could hire a non-Jewish employee at a lower price, afilim hayahevdel rak b'davar mut, even if there's a very small, $18 an hour versus $20 an hour, $18 versus $19 an hour, and the Arab is only asking 18 shekel and the Jew is asking 20 shekel. You don't have to give the job to the Jew for 2 shekel more, because sheyatsu michlal amisech asher al pitor akdosh enam shum yisrael lanachem. In that case, you're not responsible to hire the Jewish employee who's not observant of Torah mitzvos because he's not bichlal amisecha. Tesvav, the source is Achiezer who argues, and in source Tezayin, the Chazonish, who was still living, who just arrived to Eretz Yisrael at that moment, paskin also not like Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, paskin like Rabbi Chanan Wasserman's brother, Chaim Ozer, and he said there's a halachic proof for the fact that you should give the jobs to the Jews. And Hilchos Staka, if there's a city or if there's a town and there's aniyim, and the ani is not necessarily observant, there's still a chiv upon the city and the town to take care and to make sure that that person has his or her needs taken care of. And even though the children won't necessarily follow the Torah, and they might come to be makrish Torah, nonetheless, the Chazon Ish paskin that it's still the reasonable, responsible thing to do to put the jobs in the hands of the Jews. So this became ultimately machlokes between Rabbi Chanan Wasserman on the one hand, Chaim Ozer and the Chazon Ish on the other hand. And this is source Tezayin is the biography of the Chazon Ish, Per Hador. And in this little paragraph, the Chazon Ish proves this point. I like to conclude.
Is there a source for his
point is, yeah, if you're not bichlal amisecha, the pasuk says okana miyad amisecha, purchase from a Jew who's your brother. In Shas, we always say amisecha means a Jew who's am sheitcha b'toro mitzos, people who are bichlal, who are like you in the world of tar mitzos. And if a Jew who's not observing tar mitzos doesn't have the halachic status of amisecha in various aspects of halacha, so the same thing is true here.
That goes back.
The Gemara says this all the time.
Although I just learned the other day, in Sefer Chofetz Chaim, actually, he talks about if you're a mumr lahachis, yeah, then you're not mechlal amisecha.
But some
mumr lahachis,
atinok shenishba. So halach lemaisa today, and this is the reason clearly of Chaim Ozer and the Chazon Ish weren't so excited about the opinion of Rabbi Chanan. But again, this is a larger debate that could be the source of the next year. How do you deal with Jews who are not observant? Do you see them as not bichlal misecha, or do you see them as Jews who are not knowledgeable, that never went to school? Of course, the famous opinion of the Chazon Ish in your day idea is consistent with what I read here. The Chazon Ish says people never went to school; they didn't have an education. Tinok Shnishba, they don't know. So how can you stop? How can you give the jobs to the Arabs when these are Jews, Israelis who need the support, who need the parnasa? Give them the support and the parnasa. And the Chazon Ish has a raya because when it comes to Hilchot Tzedakah, we don't differentiate either. So here too, the same thing should be true. That was the.
Chaim Moser knew the. He was close.
He was close to the Chazon Ish also. I don't know who wrote first. I mean, the Chazon Ish never published anything publicly about this. There are manuscripts about the Chazon Ish on this topic that his family has and held on to. So, in terms of the Chazon Ish's printed opinion and what he wrote, there's nothing publicly written about from the Chazon Ish on this topic. It's only secondhand based upon the biography. But it seems to be consistent with the Chazon Ish's opinion in general on the topic that the Jews who are not observant do deserve to be supported.
What are you saying about their children?
Yes.
One thing they're
yeah, so just children. Because of them, why should their children suffer because the parents aren't from? Yeah.
Is there a reference of Ava here that we're citing this probably?
Good question, yes. We're going to see that right now. Let's conclude with two contemporary tshuvas. Source number Yud is a tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak, and source number Yud Aleph is a tshuva of the Tshuvas Vanhagos or Moshe Sternbach. The Minchas Yitzchak, in the year 1959, before he became the Gaivid of Eid HaRedis in Yerushalayim, was a very well-known Rav in Manchester. He was writing his response to Minchas Yitzchak, and he was asked by a Rabbi Avra Meir Israel, who was living in America, this very question, that there was a chain store that was moving into town, and the local supermarket, the local Jewish market, was suffering and as a result of all Jews beginning to shop because of the lower cost and price that the chain store was offering. Clearly, the fact that they're buying en masse and their crates are full, it allowed them to purchase at a lower cost, and as a result, they're able to sell at a lower cost. As opposed to the Jewish grocer who's only buying so much milk and so much yogurt and so much chicken and meat, he wasn't able to compete with the larger chain store. So the Minchas Yitzchak was asked by Rabbi Israel whether or not the Jewish community that he served as Rav of should support the local Jewish market, or it's okay for them to purchase from the big local chain store that moved into town. So in the third column, you'll see the Minchas Yitzchak reviews a lot of the literature that we discussed. He quotes the Pasuk, he quotes the Taras Kohanim, he quotes the Rashi, he quotes the Ramah and the Tashbetz as setting up a very difficult picture for us without any real clarification. The Ramah seems to say that even if there is a big difference, or like the Chavetz Chaim learns, even if there's a small difference only, do you have to buy Jewish? And the Minchas Yitzchak seems to set up the tshuva in a way where we have set it up so far, but with no clear psak halacha. And the end of the tshuva, O Zion, he says the following. This is something I think some of you have already touched upon. And he says as follows. The only time there's a chiyuv to buy Jewish is if you're helping a Jew, right? You're allowing the Jew, and you're doing business with the Jew, and you're supporting the Jew, because okanami adami secha, the way he understands, is that you're helping a Jew. That's what you should do. But let's say the Jew charges a lot more, and he hikes up the price, and you're supporting his three cars, and his house in Florida. Do you still have a chiv to buy Jewish? So Minchas Yitzchak says that there's a halacha of how far you have to go when you're buying Jewish. Buying Jewish means that it's reasonable, that the cost difference and the price difference is not that extraordinary. Then okana biyada misecha. But if the price that the Jew is asking for is so significantly higher, or even if it's not that significantly higher, but he doesn't need your help necessarily, and you don't necessarily have to shop there, other people will shop there. And the only reason that you are going to shop is because of the halacha of okana biyada misecha, but that okana biyada misecha is only going to support his lifestyle that he's living, then says the Minchas Yitzchak, you do not have a chiyuv to support the Jewish proprietor. Take a look what he says in O Zion, in the first column in the bottom of the page. Pshita. There is a sheer kama muslavich. There is an amount how much profit a Jewish businessman can make. There are three dargas. Ikar ochel nefesh, the support that you're allowing a Jewish proprietor to be able to live, to make a parnasa. Machshiri ochel nefesh, helping him a little bit more. Ve'im behem ochel nefesh klal. You're not helping support his lifestyle at all. He's able to make it on his own. You have to make sure that businesses are working in that way. If the Jewish salesman is hiking up the price more than what is appropriate, so at that point you don't have to purchase Jewish first. And you're able to purchase from the non-Jew whose price is lower. So that is a cheshbon one has to make when purchasing. If the purchase price is that much higher, so maybe the Ramah will tell you have to buy Jewish. Maybe the Tashbetz will tell you there has to be a smaller profit margin. But if the difference in price is that significant, and moreover, the person is able to make it on his own, and you're only supporting his vacations and his trips, at that point you don't have to go that far. That's the psak of the Minchas Yitzchak. In the next tshuva, contemporary tshuva, Tshuva von Hagos, from Moshe Sternbach, who was still serving as the Rav in Johannesburg, he had to deal with this question as well. And in Os Yud Aleph, there are two tshuvas that the Rav Moshe Sternbach writes on this topic. There's even a third tshuva that he writes on this topic, but these two are from Chelek Aleph and Chelek Beis. The title of the tshuva is Mutal Hadif Liknos Bechano Shel Goy Mechal Shabbos Shemoch and Bezol Masher Liknos Eitz Lihudi Kashem Mechir Yaka. The Jew is charging a higher price. The non-Jew is charging lower. What do you do? So again, the way he sets it up is based upon the Psukim, the Rashi, the Toras Kohanim, the Tshuva of the Ramah, and he says that he wants to suggest the following reason why we're not so makbid to purchase Jewish only. And similar to the Minchas Yitzchak, if you take a look in paragraph number 2 in the first column, Shemati liyashi minig olam shem makpidim. I know why people aren't nizhar to buy Jewish. Deikur din ha-toras kanim limko lamisecha davku begerdu gmilas chesed lidog leparnasas ha-Yisrael. The reason for buying Jewish is because you're helping your Jew, a friend, a colleague, make some money. Aval keshamoch yeshol k'dei parnasaso. But when the proprietor is able to support himself, v'rak mocha yakar k'dei lehisashon, he's only selling at a higher price in order to get rich, in chiyuv liknos min habiyoka, you don't have to purchase from him in order to help support his lifestyle. V'adrabba chayecha kodmim. So whoever asked about living on a budget, I don't have to support somebody else's lifestyle if I'm living on a budget. Then I don't have to buy Jewish. Why should I worry that my friend is getting rich when I'm suffering? Lefize Khan, he says here in Drum Africa, in South Africa, shirov amochrim yeshen far parnasa baruch hashem k'dei tzorcham. The South African businessmen, the owners, the proprietors, the shop holders, the stockholders, they're doing well. Ein chiyuv b'zeh, you don't have to buy Jewish. Val korchach ein makpidim liknos, etzlam says of Sternbach, that's why we're not careful to buy from them. Eitzal nachri b'zol yoser. Vasi shaper, val poskim sasim l'chilka b'zeh. He says, the poskim don't make this distinction, but we have seen the Minchas Yitzchak preceding him by about 30 years already writes the same exact thing, that supporting a Jew is because it's a chesed. It's a right thing to do. It's a nice thing to do. It's an eitzah tova. It's not a chiyuv, it's not a mitzvah. If I'm going to lose as a result of buying Jewish, there's no responsibility, there's no requirement to fulfill this hiddur in a way. Now, certainly he does write, and he says in the second shiva as well, if you're supporting him because of the hechazaktabo, he's going out of business, he's suffering, nobody's buying, the chain store is servicing the entire Jewish community, and the local Jewish grocer is closing up his shop as a result, that's a different story. Then you go back to the halacha of tzedakah, the highest level of tzedakah. That's what both Rav Sternbach as well as the Minchas Yitzchak write. In the second shoot, yeah, sorry. No, please.
Yeah, diamond dealers.
They're doing okay. In the second Shuva, Rav Sternbach writes another Geder. And with this, we will come to a conclusion. He says, imagine you're looking to purchase something and you're making a big purchase, a dryer, a washing machine, a fridge. And there is a difference in price between two vendors. You're going to probably drive pretty far if there's a significant difference in price. And he says, Yoser Mishtus, which you referred to earlier, if the difference is more than a sixth, it's worth it for you to purchase and to drive a significant distance to get the better price. So says Rabbi Sternbach, the same thing is true when it comes to buying Jew versus non-Jew. If the difference in price is very minimal, and a Jew and a non-Jew are charging more or less the same thing, and then you should go out of your way to try to support the Jew. No different than you would go out of your way to purchase something at a better price from wherever it is. So too, if there's a Jew and a non-Jew selling something, so you should work a little bit harder if the cost of the price is the same. If it's a bigger tircha, if it's farther out, if the shopping is more complicated, he doesn't talk about the customer service or the return policy necessarily, but if the price is the same, more or less, less, and you're making a big purchase, so buy Jewish in that circumstance. As opposed, he says, if you're making a small purchase, and when you're in a local community when there are three or four or five or six places where you could buy from, and you're not going to really shop around because the difference is 50 cents, a dollar, $1.50, or $10, so when that's the case, you don't necessarily have to buy Jewish because you're never making a distinction there. So Shtermach says you have to be even keeled. When you're going out of your way to buy something large and you're going to look to make a big purchase and you're going to profit as a result of buying something cheaper, so the same thing is true when you're buying something from a Jew or a non-Jewish proprietor, buy Jewish and go out of your way. But if you're not shopping around so much and it's a local situation, at that point you don't necessarily have to go out of your way. So to put the shir into conclusion, to go back to the questions we began with, so there are a number of factors to take into account. If I could buy Jewish in a kosher supermarket versus the local chain store, so there are many different factors to take into account. You have to take into account most prominently the difference in price. And that, unfortunately, we don't have an exact definition. The definition that we do have is that the Rama says it's a mozil tvei, or there's a hefsed, but that's a very hard number to define. Many Acharonim do say that's called a shtus, because when it comes to onas mamon, the sixth of the price, if it's higher, that's prohibited for a Jew to hike up the price a sixth. So therefore, if the price difference between chicken, meat, poultry, lamb, cheese, and milk is a sixth, so at that point you don't have a chiyuv necessarily, according to the Rama, to purchase from a Jew. So you have to check the difference in the price. The Chavetz Chaim understands, even if there's a small difference, only if there's a small difference, then you should buy Jewish. So if the difference between the two stores is 20 cents, 25 cents, 50 cents, and everybody, 20 cents is different for you than it is for me, and 50 cents is different than you than $1.50 is for me, you have to see how your budget works and how you're able to do that. Of course, you don't have to lose as a result. When it comes to the barber, so of course, if the barbers are both costing charging $18 and $20, and the same thing is true when it comes to the milk and the cheese and the meat, if all things are even, you should buy Jewish. Unless it's a situation, like Rav Moshe Schnurbach says, where it doesn't make a difference to, and you don't necessarily look to save a 25 cents or 50 cents. But if for you, that does make a difference. You don't necessarily. When it comes to the store and you're in the Jewish market and there's the two ketchups and there's Heinz and there's Mishpacha, so on the one hand, you're supporting a Jew because it's a Jewish store. On the other hand, you could be supporting the Jewish grocer and the Jewish company. That there's very little about. I did hear just yesterday there's a tshuva about this, which I haven't gotten my hands on, which I would like to see. But again, it would go back to the same question. What is the difference in price? If it's a 10 cent difference, so maybe for you 10 cents isn't a big deal. So buy the Mishpacha or the Geffen. But if it's 50 cents or if it's a dollar and it's a Yosef Mishtos, it's the sixth price cost difference, at that point you don't necessarily have to do it. When you're looking to hire somebody. So if the resume is the same, the person seems to be just as, the two people seem equally qualified, one is a Jew, one is a not Jew, should give the job to the Jew. Okay, so then you get into issues of legal laws. Of course, that has to be taken into consideration as well.
Israel, the issue is that the Arab, putting aside the security issues, which obviously is overriding in recent times, but the Jew is going to cost you more, so the question is...
That's always the question. A Jewish kablan, a Jewish contractor, is typically more expensive than an Arab contractor. The difference is, maybe it goes back to the machlokas between Rabbi Chanan and the Chazon Ish and Reb Chaim Ozer. What kind of Jew are we dealing with? Do I have to go out of my way? Of course, do I have to... Let's say you have a from grocery store owner and not from grocery store owner. So what do I do in that circumstance? Or Moshe Sternbach and is troubled that people aren't supporting the from store and shop owner, shopkeeper, because you should try to support him.
Well, does that apply if he closes his store in Shabbos? Does it make a difference?
It could be. But again, fundamentally speaking, the issues to take into account is the difference in price. That's really the first step that you have to take. And the second is figuring out for you if it makes such a difference. If it doesn't, so buy Jewish and support the Jewish. If it's somebody who's suffering and is not doing well, then absolutely, positively, you should support the Jew. Hire the Jew. Give that business to the Jew because of the mitzvah echzakta. The other thing to take into account, of course, is the person's level of religious observance. That also has something to say. But as we said, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that you have to do this. The Rambam doesn't say that you have to do this. The Gemara is not explicit about this. The two rayas that the Rama has, the halacha from Avodah Zarah and from Psachim and from Bava Metzia, are contested by later Achronim, and there's no clear indication from those Gemaras, as the Achronim point out, as to the difference in price necessary.
necessarily. So one individual's decision is going to be different than another individual's decision. The one thing that I think we could all agree upon is that if you're helping a Jew and supporting him, that's an absolutely wonderful thing to do, because otherwise he's going to fail and he's going to falter and he's not going to be able to pick himself back up. So it's v'hechazakta, there's no question about it. The other thing that's simple is if the Jew is just supporting a rich lifestyle, you don't have a chiyuv to support him. So those are the two extremes. But when you're in the middle, and when it's more gray, when the difference in price is not as clear, and when the decision in terms of what you're buying, how you're buying, when you're buying, that's going to be very much dependent on every person's pocket.